I'm excited about the word, what God is going to speak to us this morning. We are in the fifth chapter of Luke. You could turn with me in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of Luke. We're reading from the first verse to the 11th verse this morning. When you got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, we sound good. The fifth chapter of Luke, first verse to the 11th verse. And it reads, "Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked hard all night, but have caught nothing.'" Somebody say nothing.
Nothing.
"Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that the boats began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and they followed him. If you could return your attention with me to the second verse. Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Amen. Let us pray. God, we humble ourselves in this moment, recognizing that it is only your word, only your voice, only your spirit that keeps us together. We have come throughout our various weeks, maybe the difficulties, maybe the joys, the things, the battles that we have faced have brought us here today, God. We come to you with the life that we lead, knowing, God, that you have the keys to making it into that abundant life that you told us about. So we're looking to you today, God. We need a word from you. We travel through our weeks longing for you, looking for you, looking for your healing in our lives. And here we are in your house. And God, we are expectant in this moment. Expectant, God, that you will speak to us. Expectant, God, that you will do what you said you were going to do. So we ask now that you quiet us down enough on the inside so that we can hear your word as it comes forth to us from these pages of scripture. I pray, God, that you would get me out of the way, that you would use me in whatever way you need to speak, whatever message we need to hear, because God, we need to hear you so much. We love you. We trust you in this moment, and we are expectant of what you will say to us. God, when you speak, because God, when you speak, chains fall off, mountains move, eyes are open when you speak, God. And so that is what we're here for today. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We love you so much, and it is in the name of Jesus that together we say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The fishermen had gone out of the boats, and they were washing their nets. Have you ever noticed that it's often in life the most ordinary moments when life-altering things happen? Have you ever noticed that it's not those days when it seems like the clouds are parting and when angels are singing? It's not when you're most prepared that the biggest moments in life, the moments that can change everything, can take place. I know you've seen it. It's probably been in your experience that maybe one of those days where you weren't expecting it and nothing was indicating that it was going to be a momentous day, but still it was that day that you decided that something pushed you in a direction that would change everything. I know I've heard the story a million times. The day that you met the love of your life was not a day you were expecting it. Maybe it was one of those days when you were wearing yoga pants with no plans to do yoga. You ever had one of those days? That's the day when you got your hair in rollers, when you're wearing socks and sandals that God deems to introduce you to part of your destiny, right? It's often the dressed up in the ordinary are the moments that can most change our lives. Because these life-altering moments, these moments of possibility and change and future, these moments that could change everything, because they come dressed in the mundane sometimes, we often fail to recognize them. We often don't expect that good, big, momentous things could happen to us because the moment feels so ordinary. Because it's dressed up in the mundane, we don't expect for these things to happen. This is Peter's story today. He is in a mundane moment. He is in a moment that is like every other moment for the past 6 months. He is in an ordinary scene that does not feel like anything good could happen. And because he is in such a moment, he is not expecting anything. He is in a moment charged with possibility. How do I know? Because Jesus is there. Jesus is there. And so this moment is charged with what could be. With big things that could happen, with a future that's different than what he sees around him. It's charged with possibility this moment. But he doesn't know it because it's dressed up in the ordinary. He is not expecting anything good to happen. In fact, Peter is feeling the opposite. I don't know if you saw in the text, but Peter is feeling cynical today. He is not expecting anything big, amazing, miraculous. He's not even really expecting anything good today. The text tells us that when we meet Peter today, when we meet Peter, the one we've heard so much about, Peter the rock, Peter the on upon whom the church will be built and the gates of hell will not prevail against him, Peter, the one we know, when we meet Peter today, he's washing his nets. He is not expecting anything big. In fact, he's feeling the opposite. He's washing his nets after a day of a disappointing, a day in the life of this man that we know. He's not feeling the possibility that's in the air. In fact, he's done something that many of us have done. And we do it in ways that are so subtle that sometimes we don't even notice it. He's given up. I don't know if you feel for Peter the way I feel for him when I read this text. I don't know if you can see him there the way I can. If you just picture him there, it's a hot day. He's been working all day and he's pulled his boat out of the water. He's pulled it onto the shore, and even that has not been easy. Why has he pulled it onto the shore? Because it didn't work out the way he thought it was going to. I can just see him there. He's got some sort of scowl on his face, muttering to himself again. I tried everything I could. I gave it all I had. I worked all night, and here we are in the same situation. Things looking the same way as they did yesterday, trying so hard, yet not getting the result I want. Better that I just wash these nets and go home. Like so many times in Scripture, these stories are not just about the literal. Peter, of course, he has given up on his day at the sea, but I'm not just talking about the literal, because I know he's probably going to come back out and go fishing again. I'm not talking about fish. Like so many stories in Scripture, you'll probably know when Jesus healed the man so that he could walk again, that story wasn't just about his legs. When Jesus opened the eyes of the blind man, it wasn't just about his physical eyes. And this story today is not about Peter and his fish. How do I know? Because when Jesus enters the conversation, and Peter has given up, Peter has gotten to a point where he's washing his nets, where he's calling it quits, where he's deciding there's no more yet in the place that he was looking. When Jesus enters this conversation, he doesn't talk to Peter about fish. When he talks to Peter, it's not about his occupation. When he talks to Peter, it's not talking to Peter as a fisherman. He's talking to Peter as a human being. He's not talking about fish. When Jesus enters the conversation, he says, "Peter, I need you to see that this is a shift that could take place. I need you to feel the possibilities in the air." He's talking to Peter not about himself as a fisherman, but as a human being. He's talking to Peter not about fish, but about his life. He says, "Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers for people." He's not just talking about fish today. He's talking about that feeling that so many of us have tasted when you get to the end of what you tried to get to and it just didn't give you the results that you wanted it to give. He's talking, you can tell in those 11 words that echo through the millennia that you have probably read in your Bibles. Maybe you highlighted them and you circled them because they are words that communicate how you feel. He's talking about that feeling that we get when he says, "Master, we tried all night. We fished all night, yet have caught nothing." We know that feeling when we feel like we've walked down the hallways of life and we've knocked on every door, but the doors didn't contain what we thought they were going to contain. We know that feeling. Like life has given us boxes and we opened every single one, but it didn't have in it the stuff that we thought it was going to have when we started out on this journey. We know that feeling. Feeling like we've tried so hard, worked all night, and yet come up empty. We know the feeling when life has not been able to become the thing that we wanted it to become. When we knock in on the doors and they just don't open. When things that we wanted just have not come to fruition. We know what it is to say, "Master, I tried so hard, yet I have not caught the things I wanted to catch." We know what it is to wash our nets, to accommodate our disappointments, to take what we were working on and say, "This is all I'm ever going to see." To take this empty net and say, "This is all it's ever going to be. Better yet, I just wash this, hang it up, and go on home." We know what it is to stop chasing things that we once longed for that asked us to go after them. We know what it is to stop chasing those things, to stop dreaming dreams, to stop fishing. We know what it is to accommodate our disappointments, to get to a point where we've banged on the door so long that our knuckles are hurting, we just stop knocking. To wash our nets. This is not just about fish. This is about the way that life can wear us down, can convince us that what we've seen is all we're going to see. There's a psychologist and a writer, Robert Johnson, and he puts it like this. Johnson, he says that we all have an unlived life. This unlived life inside of us, this ache that we all carry deep within. He says these are the longings that have not been translated into experiences. These things that knock on the doors of our heart every now and then, but we've become convinced that they can't happen, and so we push them to the side, we hang up our nets. Johnson says we can hear the distant drumbeat of the unlived life in the mutterings that go on in the back of our heads. Or in the second guessing that we do about our life choices, or in those late night longings. He says that a sense that the unlived life is a sense that somehow we have missed the mark or failed to do something we were sure we were supposed to do. So what do we do with this ache inside of us about the unlived life, these longings that have not been translated into experience, these knockings on the doors of our hearts that sometimes we have to, what do? We tell ourselves, "No, they can't happen." We accommodate our disappointments. We begin to wash our nets and to hang them out to dry. We say, "This just must not be in the cards for me. Let me pull this boat up to shore. Let me get out of the places that I was chasing in Lot. Let me wash these nets. I got to get on home." We wash our nets in very creative ways. We wash our nets in lots of different places. I don't know what the nets are that maybe you were fishing and you were chasing, but you got tired and you felt like it wasn't working, and so you began to hang those nets out to dry. I don't know what it was for you. Whether it was that job and you stopped applying to the different jobs because even though that stirring is still in you, that there is yet deeper, you just stopped trying because it got so hard and you tried all night, you just started washing that net. Whether it's that relationship with that daughter or that son that you have decided could not be reconciled, even though deep inside of you there's still a longing for it to go the way that God designed it to go, but you give up because it was so hard and you decide to wash the net and hang it out to dry. Whether it's the life of impact and joy, whether it's the family that you thought was in the cards when you were a little girl, a little boy, but it just hasn't come yet. And so part of you thinks it'll be easier if I just decide this isn't for me. So you begin washing the nets. These things that we chased, that we let go of. We get very creative in the ways we wash our nets. What I hear a lot is, no, I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just being realistic. Y'all ever heard that one? Washing our nets. My personal favorite, as a pastor, one I hear a lot, no, it just must not be in God's will for me. And we begin washing our nets. We wash our nets in lots of ways. It can be painful to decide that these things are not in the cards for us, that life just didn't have for us what we thought it was going to have when we started out. It can be painful to look at the empty boat and say, I've journeyed all night long and I thought it was going to be full, but here I am and my life is not quite the abundant thing that Jesus told me about. This boat is still empty. These nets have holes in them. I've gotten to the end of my journey and I just don't think it's going to be in the cards for me. Let me just wash these and go on home. We decide that that's all that's there for us. We take this unlived life, these longings inside of us, this ache that we carry with it, we put it to the side. We say, that must not be the truth. Let me wash these nets and let me go home. You know how Peter feels today when he's washing his nets. And we can learn from Peter why. Why is it that we do this? Why is it that when there's possibility in the air, that when Jesus is yet around us and we've heard what he said about how things can go and the abundant life we're supposed to have, why is it that we decide instead to wash our nets, to hang them up, to feel like this life is not in the cards for us? Well, we can look at Peter. What does he say? He says, one, it's time. How many of you know? Sometimes you just bang on the door for so long that you get tired of banging. That's what Peter said. Master, it's been all night. I've tried all night long. How many of us know the years have piled up on the years? And it's not just a matter of seasons anymore. No, this seems like a permanent weather situation. I've been trying and trying for this thing that stirs within me, but it's just not working out. How many know sometimes time can convince you? Better to just wash the nets and look in a different direction. Sound like Peter? Some of us, it's just the utter extent to which we put forth effort and it came back empty. This is what he says to us today. He says, I tried all night long. I tried all night long, Master. I fished all night long and we have caught nothing. You might say to me, I know, okay, you're telling me believe in it, dream about it, go for it and chase it. Yeah, but you don't know, Pastor Willa, you might say. You don't know how little has come back from my effort. You don't know how hard things have gotten. You don't know how little I've been able to get from the efforts I put forth. And you're right, I don't know. But you sound like Peter today. Peter saying, I fished all night. I've caught nothing. The time, the extent to which we try and come back empty. Another reason that we decide to just wash our nets and to give up. To take that unlived life and push it to the side, the corners of our souls, to leave it to ache but not to scream at us. The reason that we push it to the side and we stop believing that these things are possible, the biggest one, the stories that we tell ourselves. The stories that we tell ourselves as people, they're powerful. The things that we repeat, each of us has in our heads a story on repeat. And we don't interrupt it with, you know, we're not like when we tell our kids stories at night, we tell them happy stories so that they can sleep well. But when we become adults, we stop doing that. Instead, we tell ourselves scary stories, stories about how things aren't going to work out, stories about who we are and how it's never going to get to the place that we wanted it to. We tell ourselves these stories. Peter had a story in his head today. You can tell that he had a story that was hard to interrupt. You can tell that he was telling himself the same thing over and over again, just like you do. You can tell, as he said to Jesus, Master, we have fished all night, but we have caught nothing. You can tell he had a story in his head. How do I know? Because Peter had just heard a killer sermon. Jesus, it says in the text, had just delivered the word of God. Now, this was not like a sermon that you might hear on YouTube. This was not like a sermon that you might hear at any church you go to. You know, preachers, we try. We do our best to preach the way Jesus did, but there's nobody who can give it, who can deliver the word like the word. There's nobody who can say the word of God like the word made flesh. And so this word that he gave, this sermon, you know it was a killer sermon. You know that it spoke to the most inward parts of Peter and the desires of his heart. And it told him about the possibilities that were there for him. It told him about how God felt about him, yet he didn't believe it. Why? Because he had a story in his head. You can see he goes from the sermon. He hears the word of God. It gets to him. It describes him. It talks to him. And yeah, maybe he believes it. He hears it. Maybe he believes it. But he doesn't believe it applies to him. You ever been there? You got a story in your head so much that even the word of God does not seem to shake it out of you, even when Jesus is talking to you and you believe the words. You hear them, they make sense, but you don't think they apply to you. Because of the stories we get in our heads. We see that Peter was in this today. He had heard the word, it was a beautiful day outside, yet still he was in a bad mood. I don't know if you've been there. Externally, there's sunshine, but internally, there are clouds. Externally, everything is going in the right direction, but internally, all you can hear is the repetition of the thing that you've been telling yourself, like Peter, I've worked all night and I've come back empty. It's not going to work out. This is not going to go the way I want it to go. These stories we get in our head, man, they are powerful. These stories in our head, they die hard. They take forever to get out of our system. Jesus knew this. Jesus knew this, that these stories, they latch hold of us and they don't let go. Jesus knew this today. And Jesus was a master teacher. I need to tell you about Jesus. He was such a masterful teacher. He was an expert teacher. He knew that sometimes when we're learning, we don't believe it just with the words. Good teachers know. How many teachers we got in the room? Teacher? Oh, we got a lot. You know. Good teachers know, right? That you can't just say the word. Sometimes you have to show the student, right? Jesus was a master teacher. He knew that Peter was in this process where he heard the words. He believed they were true, but he didn't know that they applied to him. He couldn't accept that they applied to him. Jesus was a master teacher. So he said, Peter, I'm going to show you. And Jesus knew that sometimes you show the most profound things with the most ordinary objects. So Peter, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I know you're not believing me. Peter, I know that you are hearing the words, you're believing them, but you're not applying them to yourself. Peter, I know you got a story in your head, and I know it's taken you in a certain direction, and you decided that you just need to give up. Peter, I know this, and I got to show you something. So he says, Peter, can I borrow your boat? Peter, can I borrow your boat? Sometimes the Lord talks to us about the most ordinary things. This is what I need you to know. You might feel like your life is ordinary, but sometimes Jesus is moving in the most ordinary things in your life. Peter, Jesus says to Peter, can I borrow your boat? Peter didn't realize that this moment was a moment where everything was about to change. He didn't know that the life-changing moments sometimes get dressed up as the most mundane moments, the most ordinary instance. He didn't realize that everything could change in this moment. Jesus said, I know he doesn't believe me with the words. Let me show him. Peter, can I borrow your boat? Peter says, okay. He gets in the boat and Jesus begins to teach. He keeps teaching, and I don't know what he was teaching this day. I don't know if he was teaching how God really feels about us and the life that God wants to give us, and saying things like he said in John, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I don't know if that's what he was teaching. I don't know if he was teaching about the way that God truly wants us to live and to have the things we need, something that we still don't believe. I don't know if he was saying, like he said, don't you know that it is your God's desire to give you good things? I don't know if that's what he was teaching today. I don't know if he was telling Peter, you are valuable. This life can be what you want it to be. Peter, every hair on your head has been counted. I don't know if that's what he's teaching, but whatever he was teaching, it wasn't getting through to Peter because he had this story in his head. And Peter said, yeah, that sounds good, but I don't think it's going to work for me. I'm just going to go home and wash these nets. I don't think this life is going to be what I wanted it to be for me. Yeah, maybe those words are true, Jesus, but do they apply to me? Isn't this us? We get these stories in our heads. We can't shake out of them. Jesus knows this, and so he says, I'm going to show you. Jesus is going to show Peter. He says, let me get in your boat. They get in the boat. Peter's still not believing it, like us, like you on a Tuesday. When you heard on a Sunday that it was going to be okay, that God could make a way, that if you just believed, you would see the glory of God, like you on a Tuesday. When all that is worn out, Peter doesn't believe it anymore. He heard the words. He believed they're true, but he didn't apply it to himself. So Jesus says, I'm going to show you, Peter. I'm going to show you what your brain will not let you comprehend. Peter, I'm going to show you. Let me get in your boat. They get in the boat. They get in the boat. And Jesus says to Peter, I know you don't believe it. Peter, I know you got these stories in your head. Peter, I know you're on the edge of giving up. Peter, but just put down your nets for another catch. Peter says to him, Master, we've worked all night. We fished all night and we have caught nothing. And then here comes the moment this moment dressed in the ordinary, this moment dressed in the mundane, where everything shifts. Here comes the moment where Peter's life changes. He doesn't know it's on the way, just like you don't know that your life could change at any. Here comes the moment. I submit to you today that Peter's life did not change when he saw all the miracles of Jesus. That didn't change it. I submit to you today, it was not even when Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter. That wasn't when Peter's life changed. It wasn't when Jesus said, I'm giving you a new assignment, you will be the foundation. That was not when Peter's life changed. I submit to you today that this moment in time when Peter's life changed was the moment where he said these five words, where he said, God, Jesus, I don't see what you see. I am not the masters of the sea. I can't see all the fish out there that you say are yet for me. I don't see, I don't believe what you're telling me about me. I can't see it the way you do it. But he said these five words that if we would just say, he said these five words that changed his life. He said these five words that broke the story in his head. He said, yet if you say so, yet if you say so, he said to Jesus, I don't see what you see. The stories in my head are not the same as the story you're telling me about me, Jesus. Yet if you say so. Oh, and when these words came out of his mouth, it was an ordinary day, but things began to shift. It was an ordinary day, but the world began to turn in a different direction for Peter. It was an ordinary day, but everything can change in the blink of an eye when Jesus is on your boat. When he said these words, he let Jesus change his mind. Yet if you say so. Now, I just need to stop here for a second because I suspect that this is somebody's testimony today. Ooh, that you had some stories in your head. Some ways you were thinking, but Jesus came in, whew, and he told you something different. He told you something different than what you thought, and you might not have believed it. Oh, but something in you, by the grace of God, was able to let you say, yet if you say so, God. And oh, sometimes when we let God change our mind, things can change. Sometimes some of us, I don't know if this is your testimony, but maybe some of you could say, if it had been for me, if it had just been me. If I had just listened to my own self, I don't know where that would be. Some of us can say, whew, if we hadn't said, yet if you say so to the Lord, we would be somewhere in a straitjacket, shaking back and forth. If it hadn't been for God coming in and changing our minds and us by some measure of grace being able to say, yet if you say so, then we would be in our coffin somewhere. Whew. And if it hadn't been for God changing our minds, that we would be somewhere miserable, bitter, at a bar, and not for the atmosphere. We would be somewhere suffering down in the depths of our misery. But God came in and said, I got something different to tell you. And by the grace of God, we said, yet if you say so. We were able to say, Lord, change my mind. Change my mind. Stop these stories in my head. You know what? We were able to say, God, I'll trade these stories I have for the story you're telling me. Whew. We were able to relinquish somehow by the grace of God, like Peter, relinquish what we believed because God said something different. How many know that when you let the Lord change your mind, he can change your life? He can change your life. This is what happened to Peter today. This is what happened. He had a story. It was causing him to give up, to think life was a certain way, to go in a certain direction, to wash his nets and to hang them up. But Jesus told him something different. Jesus told him something different. And by the grace of God, he didn't stop there. He said, yet if you say so, yet if you say so, I'll believe what you're telling me over what I'm telling myself. There was a whole new life out there for Peter. We know his story. It all started today on this ordinary day. The giving up that he had begun to do, the accommodating to his disappointments that had become his reality, the nets that he was washing to hang out to dry, the way he felt he was walking home to just throw in the towel, to let it remain the way it remained, the things that he wanted that were still in his spirit he was going to say no to, but he was able to say, yet if you say so, God. And this is our invitation today, to take those stories that we have in our heads, the disappointments that we're accommodating, the nets that we are washing, the things we think will never be for us, the ways that we are giving up on this abundant life that God has promised to us. This is our invitation today to say to God, I don't see what you see. I can't see what you see when you see these possibilities before me. No, I don't feel that way on a Tuesday when the bus is late. and work is calling, and the emails are, I don't feel that there's possibility before me. I don't feel like Carell does this morning, like there's possibility before this child. No, I feel like I'm all worn out. I don't see what you see. I don't believe what you're telling me. But if you say so, God, this is our invitation today to say yes to God when he's saying, I got a different story for you. I want you to trade in what you're telling yourself for what I am telling you. We see with Peter that this was the beginning. Though it was an ordinary day, it was the beginning of a whole new life for him. It was the beginning of the unlived life that was in him that bubbled up and was able to become something bigger than he could ever imagine. We see with Peter today that today when he said, yet if you say so, when he said yes to the Lord, when he let God change his mind, something bubbled up in him and life became something so much bigger than he could ever imagine. I don't know what nets you're washing. I don't know what ways you've decided that life is just always going to be that way. That there's nothing that can be done about the dreams that stir in you, that the things that you need and you want that would make your life abundant. I don't know what nets you have begun to wash and you're looking for places to hang them and you're deciding that this is just how it's. I don't know what those nets are for you, but I'm telling you today that Jesus has a different story. Jesus has a different story about it. And this is our invitation today to say yes to Jesus' story about us. To let God change our minds. Amen? Amen? Amen. Come on, can anybody say, yet if you say so to our God? Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet with me. Stand to your feet and grab somebody's hand. We're going to sing this song to God. We're going to tell God, yes, Lord, yes. I believe you over what's in my head. I take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That I believe your story about me, God. I will let you change my mind. I will say to you, God, yet if you say so today. Let's sing this song to God. Grab somebody's hand.